Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. We can't do it alone. Wake up, everybody, to MPH Radio on the 26th of November, 2022. Our theme tonight is Seeking the Truth on the Assassination of MFK Jr. We're going to talk about his case and others and see what can we learn from our historical past, so we can have a better understanding of our future. That will be the subject for today's program. But before we get to that particular topic, we'd like to wish everybody happy Thanksgiving and holidays and all other good days that you celebrate for whatever reasons. And we'd like for you to take a few minutes at this time and join us as we attempt to fill in some of our missing pages of history. I'm your host, the voice of MPH Radio, and the order for this program today will entail giving you something to think about as relates to freedom, some Black Mini Facts by MPH with Susie, Alex Speak to the Community. And then we will have a candid discussion going back in memory lane as we talk a little bit about Seeking the Truth on the Assassination of MLK Jr. as well as the recent case that took place in Mexico, where there was a killing of our sister Shaquica Robinson. I mean, we want to take a look at that and try to get a better understanding of how the society are influencing our young people to act responsible. And like always, you can join us by dialing 818-337-0016, MPH Radio. So at this point in time, we want to take out your pen and your pencil and some paper, and we'll give you something to think about as it relates to this concept of freedom. Freedom is a concept where millions and millions of people have died and fought over. You're still having people fighting over this concept of freedom. And I think it would be wise for us to get a better understanding of what freedom is. And I'm just going to give you one definition today on freedom, which I think is very profound as relates to the realities that we find ourselves in today. And I want you to think about it and see how you can apply that concept into your everyday life. And that concept is, freedom is having the ability and the means to control the necessities for life. That's right. Freedom is having the ability and the means to control those necessities for life. And if you can do that, you can be free. So I gave you something to think about. Think about that. And when we take our, we're going to take a quick break with music with a message. And when we come back, Susie's going to give you some Black Mini Facts for the week of the 20th of November to the 26th. This is MPH Radio. We'll be right back. Don't you go nowhere.
Tennessee.
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. But Lord, I ask you to be my guiding force and truth. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain by brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. You said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth, and you was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said, what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurred. some strange things and it had to be. It was all a dream about Tennessee.
We'd like to welcome you back to MPH Radio. At this point in time, we're going to bring in Susan from MPH Radio, and we're going to ask her to share with us some of her MPH Black Community Facts for today's program. Susan, it's radio.
Good evening. Hi. Today I'll be giving you Black Community Facts from the PRSP November 2021 calendar. We'll start with the 20th, which is Zuma Das Palmeiras, Brazilian leader, died in struggle in 1695. And also on that 20th, we had Africans in New York organized an anti-kidnapping defense committee in 1873. On the 22nd of November, they had the Canadian masses repulsed imperialist aggression in 1970. And also on that day, they had Zimbabwe launch guerrilla war in 1972. On the 23rd, J. Love invented the pencil sharpener in 1897. Also, Morocco began the fight against Spain for the liberation of Spanish Morocco in 1957. On the 24th, Scott Joplin, composer and musician, was born in 1867. And also Ron Delmont, member of the U.S. House of Representatives, was born in 1935. And on the 25th, the U.S. installed Mobutu as their neo-colonial puppet president in Zaire, and that was in 1965. Also, we had Fidel Castro, revolutionary and first president of socialist Cuba, died in 2016. And last for that week, on the 26th, the death of Sojourner Truth, African freedom fighter and women's right advocate in 1883. And I've given you just a few examples of Black Men in Facts from the PRSP November 21 calendar.
We'd like to thank you, Susan, for your MPH Black Men in Facts. And we hope this is just a reminder of reminding our people and the rest of the world that we too are part of humanity and we have made our contributions as well, like all people. So we will continue to make our transition today. At this point in time, we are bringing our brother Alex. Alex Joyner, he will speak to the community. And what message do you have for our community today, Brother Alex? The mic is yours, Brother Alex Joyner.
Thank you, Brother Lee, and I would like to again say thank everyone today for joining us and on this blessed day after, day of Thanksgiving for the nation, because there's been so much going on in these past days and these past years where we have been bombarded with lies and mistruths about everything imaginable and unimaginable. There has been no data or facts to back up outrageous claims and theories, yet lies and misinformation fill our society because many believe that free speech must be protected. Regardless of how unfounded their claims are, countless followers are coerced into believing the lies being spread by politicians, doctors, lawyers, teachers, business leaders, sports stars, actors, and common citizens who have no idea how damaging their rhetoric is. Social media didn't exist 50 years ago, and if it had, it may have changed history as we know it today. Conspiracy theories and all-out lies have defeated many candidates who tried to assume the offices of democracy. Freedom may have totally vanished through misguided information. Our lives depend on facts and estimates based on the truthfulness of the sources we collect information from. We live in a universal community of people who trade and service our needs through global alliances of common good and interest. This is built upon a stock market that rises and falls through world panic situations of commodities. The effect of oil or soybeans or anywhere in the world affect us all over the world. We need as much truthfulness as we can gather to plan our existence beyond tomorrow. We call the lifeline to the future our bridge to the infinity of life. Man's true existence, as proven by our DNA, started in northern Africa in many years. Man migrated to Asia, Europe, and the American continent and elsewhere as he sought to explore and settle all frontiers of the earth. Misinformation was first started by the Romans and not the Greeks. The Greeks appreciated and recorded the actual oral histories and sought the facts of man's early history housed in the libraries of Alexandria in northern Egypt. Alexander the Great knew the facts and the truth were the most important things to make decisions about holding his great empire together. His trust of the truth led him to be undefeatable on the battlefield. Regardless of the size and greatness of the opposing army he faced, his intel of the foe, for he invaded, guaranteed his victory, and he never lost a battle against any army he engaged in war. Yes, true information, not lies, should survive us in history. The history of the world as we know, it has many gaps and distortions. Some call it missing or unwritten. Some call it intentional misinformation, written and recorded by the rulers who sought to include only what they pleased. What are the secrets of history that so many are afraid to uncover? We search the world over for lost civilization and lost riches, for ships sunk in the oceans, but turn our backs when the truth comes out about man's true origins. Why do we shy away from the truth of scholars who enlighten us with the ideas that not all things happen as we are taught they did? Should we not push the envelope for truth? The secrets of man's history is confusing and cruel as he's managed to carve out a life on this planet who honors a being in heaven he believed created him. Abraham Bolden, the first black Secret Service agent of President Kennedy, detailed in 1963, knew the truth and facts weeks before in Chicago that there would be an attempt on the president's life. When he tried to present the facts to his superiors, he was shut down to keep the secrets from getting out. Weeks later, a second attempt in Dallas happened, and the president was slain. The secret's out. How many times have someone asked you, can you keep a secret? It is the most trusted and confidential thing a person can ask, and keeping a promise in good faith, another relies on friendship and anonymity, that whatever is discussed or said, it will be not told to no one else. secrets are so sacred that they make them and take them to their graves to never be discussed under any circumstance. True friendships carry the burdens of many secrets over time that could destroy the relations of either party and cause harm and many misgivings toward others. Yes, secrets are a service we bear as friends to offer the truth or lie of any given situation a person may encounter. What may be your secrets? Would you tell or swear to keep a secret until your earthly end? How far would you carry a secret to defend a lie or the truth? On November 22nd, a pleasant day in 1963, America's vibrant, young President John F. Kennedy decided to ride down a Dallas boulevard to be visible and to wave to the large clouds who lined the streets to greet him in an open limousine. The second attempt to kill him would be successful this day. The nation would mourn again over a great leader as they had for Abraham Lincoln 100 years before. In October 1960, Abraham Bolden was the first African-American to be sworn into the United States Secret Service by President John F. Kennedy, who often introduced him as the Jackie Robinson of the Secret Service. A comment Bolden found so touching that he almost broke into tears to be compared to Robinson. He started guarding Kennedy in 1961, born January 19, 1935. Bolden went on to graduate cum laude from Lincoln University and became the first black detective with the Pinkerton Detective Agency. He became a highway patrolman with the Illinois State Police. His outstanding service drew the eyes of the nation's top law enforcement agency. In 1962, he ranked second in the nation in solving counterfeit and check forging cases. The first attempt to assassinate Kennedy was planned to take place at the Chicago Army Air Force game on November the 2nd, 1963. But because of Bolden's interference, was rescheduled for 3 weeks later in Dallas, and they were successful. The National Archives and Record Service illegally suppressed documents that pointed to the plot uncovered by Bolden and others. The Department of Justice issued a no-comment response, and the Warren Commission would seal the records. Bolden had given them a pile of documents about the secret plot, and they later claimed to have been stolen from the National Archives. Bolden also had secret information on the second attempt in Dallas and for the plot to kill Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The U.S. House Select Committee on Assassination concluded that the Secret Service failed to make the appropriate use of the information supplied by him on the plot in early November 1963. Bolden told of the misconduct of agents assigned to protect Kennedy. He spoke of the laxativity, the nonchalant attitude as they drank heavily before and after guarding the president. They misreported shift assignments or were half drunk on duty. They used government cars to transport women to bars and hotels. He reported all of this to the heads of the Secret Service, James Rowdy, but no action was taken. The Secret Service and the other agents saw Bolden as a problem in keeping secrets what happened to Kennedy. So he was framed by the agency he loved to keep him quiet. In June of 1966, he began serving 39 months in prison and 2.5 years on probation for bogus charges. He was awarded a full pardon by President Joseph Biden on April 26, 2022, and was finally thanked for his service and dedication to telling the truth against all odds, upholding his oath to the United States Secret Service and for the fallen president he served. In 2008, Bolden published his memoirs, The Echo, from Dealey Plaza. To this day, He believed that there was a conspiracy to assassinate Kennedy. He had heard agents displeased with the president's integral policies state that they would not attempt to protect him in an assassination attempt. Bolden was not assigned to the Dallas detail to guard Kennedy, even though he had uncovered the Chicago attempt. Upon all the committees and personal investigations of the murder of John F. Kennedy and Dr. Martin Luther King, many government agencies have not been held accountable for the information they received. Lost and stolen files, pictures, and recordings are gone now, and many have moved on and don't want to know the truth. I've often watched the slow memorize of a promising young president who, like Lincoln, offered some hope of a better America, one that had opened some doors that had been closed before to African Americans. He was far from perfect, but he stood as a chance that the nation would have to deal with poverty, the elderly, education, science, civil rights, and the Vietnam War. For some of these causes, he would be killed because some did not want change in America. The country changed that day in Dallas, and the nation stood at the crossroads to offer peace and comfort to the citizens who hoped that we could become a better country than we were. Yes, the dreams of Camelot have been buried for over 60 years, but the secret to end it all was out in 1963, but was covered up and ignored. Abraham Bolden has steadfastly maintained his innocence, arguing that he was the targeted for prosecution in retaliation for exposing unprofessional and racist behavior within the United States Secret Service. Yes, the secret was out, and the teller of the truth had to be silenced. Bolden never relented and finally was exonerated by the government. He was punished by for telling the truth. What truth lies in the dark will someday come to light. Thank you, family.
We thank you, Brother Alex, for your message to the community, and we'd like to remind everyone that all messages or commentaries on this program is exclusively the ideas and thoughts of the speaker and not necessarily the ideas and thoughts of those of this radio station or its members affiliate. And if you would like to become a part of our Speak to the Community segment, feel free to contact us at mphradio@yahoo.com. So at this point in time, what we're going to do is we're going to take a station break. We're going to play some music with a message. And when we come back, we're going to discuss what's going on in Nicholia Wood. There's a particular case that recently has rocked the world, dealing with Sister Shaquilla Robinson. Shaquille Robinson, who was recently killed in Mexico. And we'd like to have a discussion on what are the things that are going on in our community as it relates to our young people that is causing them to act irresponsible. We'd like to have this discussion, and we would like to invite you to join us when we return by calling 80016. This is MPH Radio. We'll be right back.
Give them a sense.
about us. If that's the case, the issue is, do you care about you? And let's have a little dialogue about what's going on in the neck of our woods as it relates to this recent case of the killing of our sister, Shaquella Robinson. I believe I pronounced her name correctly, Shaquella Robinson, who took a fun vacation, was supposed to be on a vacation with her so-called six friends to Mexico, where they were going to take a little time out, and like all young folks do, to have some fun among their friends. Well, this particular vacation, it turned out to be a more than a nightmare for her family. But for her, it turned out to be her last day of living on this earth while she was in Mexico with her so-called associates or friends. I will lay out some of the key issues, I think, that based upon what has been reported and my understanding of this case, and I'd like for you to weigh in terms of, let's take this particular incident and try to make it a teachable moment, a moment to raise our consciousness, or try to create a humanity where we don't respect all human beings, all lives, but have some sense of decency, of not viewing people as a means to acquire something for our self-interest or selfishness. And I say this because based upon my understanding of this incident with Sister Robinson, she was generous enough to pay for the housing where they stayed at in Mexico, which cost $10,000 for the rental service fee. And she had an additional $17,000, I guess, to spend, to splurge, to do other activities. She came with so-called six friends. And the end result is that came out that she was murdered by the same friends, the so-called friends, that came with her. What was their motivation to kill this young lady? That's the question I ask. Not only what was their motivation, but how do you conceive of the idea of wanting to kill someone that you call a so-called friend? How do you conceive anything in the terms of wanting to take something that didn't belong to you, i.e. maybe her money, exploited because she was financially, you know, in a good position, and walk away from it, come back to the United States like nothing happened? How do you create the condition, the mindset for any woman or any man that could do that to another one, where you have had a social, so-called positive relationship with? How could you, and I'm making an assumption based upon what I have heard from the story, how could you be a doctor who come on the scene and witness someone who have died, and you say to the people who are there that you need to go to a medical facility as soon as possible, but yet you allow them to coach you to stand there trying to give her the aid that you can't give her for over 2 to 3 hours? Was there some incentive for the doctor not to fight and relinquish, to have this young lady enter to a hospital It's my understanding that even after they claimed her neck was broken, her spinal cord, she was still living for an additional 15 minutes. And maybe she could have got through some kind of medical facility that has certain capabilities of dealing with these traumas, these injuries. Maybe she'd still be living. What was in it for the doctor who chose to behave the way he behaved? It made me think about the assassination of Michael Jackson and his so-called medical doctor and how he behaved in an inappropriate way. But for African youth today, what is going on to make them want to behave in this fashion? Are they also victims by what they see? How this society is defined, what is success? How maybe they have been imbued with self-hatred among themselves that will allow them to do other human beings like that, particularly human beings that look just like them, look like they could be their sister or brother? Who share the responsibility of this act, and how can we avoid this in the future? I'd like to open this up to my listening audience. You can call in at 818-337-0016. Share your views on how can we make this into a teachable moment and your critique of this tragic incident. Brother Alex, let's start out with you. What do you take from this killing of this young lady in terms of how could we make this into a more of a teachable moment and create some kind of scenario where in the future that young folks would have a kind of mindset where they would take someone out intentionally to kill them just so they can get whatever they want based on their self-interest? Brother Alex, the mic is yours.
Well, again, thank you, Ms. Lee, for giving me an opportunity to just, you know, express some sadness right now. And I mean some heartfelt sympathy and condolences to the family. But all America, and I mean especially Black America, is grieving along with the family, because we stand united as parents, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters. We stand united in knowing that this is not the way that we were taught, that we were simply brought up, that we act toward one another. This killing, like so many other killings, from gang-related all the way to senseless violence against one another on the workplace, has to come to an end. We have to get our dignity back, our respect back. We have to get our confidence to know that our brothers and sisters should be loved and not thought of as worthless. See, this life was given away to evil. And when we look at evil, it was the evil of the circumstance, whether it was jealousy, outright hate, a lie, a relationship gone wrong. Anything could have happened to precede what happened. But regardless of it all, somebody should have said, can we work this thing out? Or have got to a point that when a man stands in a room with a camera, and maybe others too, and will film this and not take part in stopping this, That is the beginning of the problem, escalation from one point to the other point. This could have been stopped right there. It didn't have to proceed. I have taught my sons, and I've told my daughters, that when you get in a situation such as this, there's only two places to stand. You either stand with the attacker or you stand with the victim. Sort out the facts later, but stop the violence that will end in murder right away. There's no problem with getting involved when you see something that's not right. And no one can tell me that the one gentleman or two gentlemen and the other three or girl that were in the room, someone had to say, this ain't right. Parents didn't teach me. My upbringing is not this way. But that was all tossed out the window because someone decided that this life didn't mean anything. The appreciation of what Ms. Robinson had done in providing them a place and an opportunity to go somewhere, to have fun, to enjoy each other, was not appreciated. It was taken for granted. In an odd way, I wonder if some of them expected it, that she was only doing it for one reason or the other, and they did not have to show that appreciation that when someone does something as a friend, and as I understand it, she's supposed to have friends in the room, friends at the time of her death, friends that did not want her to have medical assistance, friends that abandoned her and came back home and sat and ate and conversed with the parents and did not console them into the irony of what they had done or witnessed. Yes, I'm hurting right now. I'm truly hurting because, like I say, I have children of my own. And we can't warn our children enough of the dangers beyond our doors. We call them grown at 18 to make their own decisions, to go whatever way that they want to do. But in our hearts, they are our children. And when something happens to our children, we are torn apart, and especially when it's an only child, and especially when it's a child that you love, especially a good child that had her own business, that was doing her own thing, a good child. Right now, I don't see any other good children that were in Mexico with her. But I would like to turn this back to you, Ms. Lee, so we can get some talk going on, because this is a tragedy. And in all tragedies, we got to see our way through. We got to let justice prevail. But we still have to support the parents, because no day will be the same. Not for them. We can go on. We can move on. But for the parents, this is the worst day of their lives. So I give it back to you.
Okay. We'll go to Susan. Susan, get a perspective on maybe how can we take this tragic loss of life and turn into a teachable moment. And what are some of her thoughts on what she heard about this tragic incident? Susie, the mic is yours.
Okay. Yes, I'd also like to send my condolences to the Robinson family. When I first heard about this, it was almost like I really didn't believe that it had happened. When you think she was supposed to be going, they were supposed to be going on a fun trip to celebrate someone's birthday. And the only thing I say is, I know they got the thing out there looking for the arrest, the individuals involved. I'm hoping actually, regardless, they get time. No death penalty or anything, because they need to really sit back and look at what they did. They knew what they were doing was wrong, but to carry it out and not make any attempt to help her when it was going on, I just can't believe it. Even if it had to be jealousy that it was all about, which is crazy, but I just hope they get some time and they be able to sit back and realize what they did was truly wrong. That wasn't the way to handle it. If they really didn't care for it, they didn't have to go on the trip from the beginning. And now they don't ruin their lives. They ruined Chanel's parents' lives and family. I was more angry when I heard about it than anything, because of the fact that no one made an attempt to stop the individuals from doing what they were doing. That's all I got to say.
Okay, let's take our caller. See what our caller have to say. Caller 4298, we're going to bring you in. Caller 4298. Can we look at this particular tragedy and turn into some kind of meaningful learning moment where maybe we can avoid this for happening in the future? What would the climate allow these individuals to think like that and act like that? That's what I want to try to get to. Seems like they were acting out a movie. You see something? See this as some kind of horror movie. What do we call it, 4298?
Well, thank you. But this tragedy was not an overnight thing. This was not just a weekend event or something. This was like years in the making, because this just didn't happen overnight. And so, you know, I don't know who, you know, the investigations have not been that developed yet. I don't think. I mean, psychiatrists have to get involved. All kinds of people have to get involved, because this is some sick stuff, to say the least. And like, I think, you know, the lesson, obviously, you're either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. That's the basic fundamental issue. Or you either stand with the victim or you stand with the attacker. And so there's no middle ground there. So That's what we have to understand as a people, that we have to act and act decisively on whatever we choose to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. Brother Alex, looking at this particular incident, the tragedy, does it make you rethink and look at this issue of who you consider your friends? And what about you still trust other people that you think may be your friends? How has it maybe impacted your way of looking at things differently, particularly on this concept of who you associate with?
Okay, Mr. Robinson. Yes, you know, we've always been taught, or we've heard, that birds of a feather flock together. I've always, in my life, decided to flock with the eagles, flock with the lion, not with the jackals, and not with the buzzards. They are two astonishing torches in life to move forward. And I would tell anyone that if you think that the only thing about your life that is worth something is to take something from someone else, then your life isn't worth living. if you got to take it that someone else has. If you can't see enough worth in yourself to move forward and do something on your own, whether you have to move, go to a completely different country, but make a way for yourself. Our race, and I hate to even mention this, but sometimes things have to be mentioned to get the word out. You see, we have been blinded for ages that our lives mean nothing. We came in bondage and chains, ashamed to the whole world that we meant nothing. We were sold on blocks, stripped naked of all dignity. Do not tell me that this has a focus on how we feel about each other today. If someone else treats you like dirt, your race like dirt, will not those children think about that, consider that? Yes, choosing your friends is the most positive thing that you can do in life, to rise above all criticism and bullying, because that happens every day. I'm sure almost every one of our listeners may have been bullied in school, said something about folks who's jealous of you over one reason or another, whether you wore this or wore that, the way your hair was styled. People get jealous of you for nothing. It don't make sense. Don't make sense at all. But people get jealous of what you have instead of going out and getting what they should have. They desire their goals. We have forgot that most important thing of uplifting the whole people. It's being able to do better. Each generation does better. We left those fields and plantations and became college educated, doctors, lawyers. We are some of the greatest people that had ever lived. Our future can be the brightest ever. But we have to teach our children that value, because it's in choosing their friends. It's how they're going to achieve things in life. If you stick with the people, as they say, that are going places, that are doing things positive, that are doing things, then you got something going on. When they say organize and we get together and organize it, all it takes is one bad apple in the bunch to destroy anything. You have to know who to associate with to make yourself a success. People have all kinds of agendas for holding you back. You have to know your friends. Being able to choose those friends is one of the hardest things that you'll accomplish through life. But the warning signs are there. If you know a friend or have a friend that loves to get drunk, loves to get high all the time, loves to steal things, can't tell you the truth, that's not your friend. That's not your friend. So we have to move beyond simple relationships and start building upon great relationships that will help us when we need things on the financial plane, when we need things on the educational plane, when we need things on the medical plane, when we need to take care of our wellness even better. Friends are hard to come by. True friends, good friends, friends that don't stab you in the back, they are hard to come by. Even Jesus found out how hard it was to have friends. And I turn it back to you, Slick.
Thank you, Brother Alex, and to Susie and my caller. I'd just like to get a quick response from your general synopsis on, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, the OJs that he smiles in your face all the time won't take your place. We talk about this question of jealousy, but see, like, even more deeper than that, because to organize something like this and you have a relationship with a person you plan on bringing harm to, criminals are not born, killers are not born, they are created. What can be done in society just to even get away from this mindset of saying that, you know, one may think it's okay to kill if they think you can get away with it. Why does it need to kill? This is a society where killing takes place probably every 30 minutes or so. How do we change our mindset so our young folks will have some consciousness, understanding that it's not cool to kill? Susie first, then my caller next. No response, Susie. I assume we have some problems. Susie's responding right now. Let's see. We'll go ahead and call the 4298. Caller, I think this problem is bigger. It's a mindset. How do we get this mindset out of our youth of thinking it's okay to kill, regardless of what it may bring you? Because, see, like, we live in a society where it popularized killing in the movies, in the music, even when people get rich and go to jail and come back out. People see them as heroes. So how do we change that kind of mindset of making that people realize it's not cool to kill?
I think it's a social problem. It's a social illness. And definitely it's easy. You attack it as a religious problem or a political problem. I think, you know, like as a Christian, you know, I think, you know, like it's unthinkable. But I don't think they would claim the Christian community as their community. I don't know. But, and then as a political problem, you have to study until you turn yourself into a communist and to see the unity of the community and know that the oppression and the aggression and the alienation is not coming from each other, but it's coming from the system itself, and that our duty is to turn our alienation into hope and a struggle for a better day. And we have to have a vision, though. We have to have the vision of what a better day looks like in order to do that. But like I said, it's a two-pronged approach to it. You either attack it from a religious, a very personal, moral viewpoint, or a political viewpoint. Either way, you're either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. And like I said, this thing didn't happen overnight. This is years in the making. These people, you know, had some kind of psychological barriers in their mind and some kind of jealousy or envy or whatever it was, and this is the end result. Thank you.
Thank you, Colin. I do agree with you that I think there definitely needs to be a more critical critique of the system and the role it plays in terms of developing people and ideals. It creates by influencing people. And I think that's something we really need to look at, particularly when we analyze cases like this particular one. And speaking of that, what we're going to do right now, we're going to a station break, and when we come back, we're going to transition to a continuation of when we talk about critiquing the system and how things influence us. There's an article written in Covert Action. We ask everyone to take a chance to go to Covert Action magazine. And we need to relook at and revisit this case of the assassination of Martin Luther King. It's an article titled, Dear J. Edgar Hoover, Order the Assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. We need to take a look at that, because if people see the government participating and acting irresponsibly, how do you think it will impact the people? And we're going to have that discussion when we come back. This is Missing Pages of History, MPH Radio.
Change? I guess change is good for any of us. Whatever it takes for any of y'all to get up out the hood, I'm with you. I ain't mad at you. Got nothing but love for you. Do you think, boy? Yeah. All the homies that I ain't talked to in a while, I'ma send this one out for y'all. Know what I mean? Cause I ain't mad at you. Heard y'all tearing up shit out there. Kicking up dust. Giving a mother up. Yeah, because I ain't mad at you. Now we was once two, the ends of the same time. Quick to holler at a hoochie with the same line. You was just a little smaller, but you still roll. Got stressed about A and hit the hood swole. Remember when you had a Jerry curl, didn't quite learn. On the block with your Glock, tripping off Sherm. Collect calls to the tilt, saying how you changed. Oh, you a Muslim now, no more dope games. Heard you might be coming home, just got bail. Seems I lost my little homie, he's a changed man. Hit the pen and now no sinning, it's the game plan. When I talk about money, all you see is the struggle. When I tell you I'm living large, you tell me it's trouble. Congratulations on the wedding, I hope you're right. No, she got a player for life, and that's no issue. I know we grew apart, you probably don't remember. I used to be for your sister, but never implemented. And I can see us after school, we bomb on the first one. Up with them, with the bomb, but it's on. Now the whole issue changed, and we don't even kick it. Got a big money scheme, and you ain't even with it. Knew in my heart you was the same. Up with them, the bad. Go toe-to-toe when it's time for woe, you got a brother's back. And I can't even trip, cause I'm just laughing at you. You trying hard to maintain, then go ahead, cause I ain't mad at you. Mad at you. And cousins fighting, playing dozens, whole neighborhood buzzing, knowing that we buzz it. Used to catch us on the roof or behind the stairs. I'm getting ripped and I reminisce on all the time we said. Besides pumping and grinding, wasn't nothing on our mind. In time, we learned to live a life of crime. We grinded back to a time was much too young enough. I caught a felony loving the way it guns blow. And even though we separated, you said that you raised. Don't get nobody no coochie while I be locked up safe. I kiss my mama goodbye, wipe the tears from my lonely eyes. Said I'll return, but I gotta fight to get survived. Don't shed a tear, cause mama, I ain't happy here. After trial, no more smiles for a couple years. They got me going mad, I'm knocking busters on their backs. In my cell, picking hell, I know one day I'll be back. As soon as I press down, I told my girl I'll be there. So prepare to get up down. The homies wanna kick it, but I'm just laughing at you. Cause you's a down ass hippie, and I ain't mad at you. But from a nobody nigga to the big man on the block, he's Mr. Local Celebrity, addicted to moving G, most hated by enemy, escaping the luxury. See, first you was out working, but you made it, so the choice is made. Now we gotta re-ask why you faded. In the younger days, so full of pain when the weapons blade. Getting so high off that bomb, hoping we make it to the better days. Cause crime pays, and in time, you'll find a rhyme ablaze. You'll feel the fire from the niggas in my younger days. So many changed on me, so many try to plot. But I keep a clock to pop my head, when will it stop? Your God return me to my essence, cause even as an adolescent, I refuse to be a convalescent. So many questions and they ask me if I'm still down. I moved up out of the ghetto, so I ain't real now. They got so much to say, but I'm just laughing at you. You just don't know, but I ain't mad at you.
I'd like to welcome you back to MPH Radio on the 26th day of November, year 2022. We're discussing our theme tonight. At this point in time, seeking the truth on the assassination of MLK Jr. Now, we recently just talked about this recent case of this tragedy that happened to our sister, Chinquilla Robinson. Now, looking at that particular incident and looking at the historical narrative, the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., I think there are some parallels that need to be discussed and take a look at. And we'd like to just remind you about the importance of understanding history, understanding the truth. Because we don't get the truth, we don't learn the truth, we are doomed to repeat these things again and carry out these kind of behaviors that need to be corrected. And that was the article written in Covert Action. We asked everyone who ever seen the article, go and look up the magazine, Covert Action Magazine, and the article is, did J. Edgar Hoover order the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. And it's very interesting in terms of looking at new information that has came out this past year on this particular case. And some of the things that came out seem to be suggesting or indicating that the real story has not been told, or the real story is a story that the government doesn't want people to know the truth. And we just would like to raise some issues with you, the listening audience, around this particular history and how we can arrive at the truth. Because once we know the truth, we'll be in a better position to make sure the correct things don't happen again. Now, one of the subtopics of this article, it talks about the powerful new evidence of a government abandoned conspiracy has prompted the King family members to maybe demand a reopening of the investigation into his murder. And one of the things I know people are familiar with about some of the new findings that they found out was that they accused James Earl Ray as being the individual who carried out the lone assassination of King Jr. When in reality, some of the things that they accuse him of and the fact finding doesn't bear out that reality. For example, the article talks about he was the kind of individual that knew very little about guns. He really didn't know how to shoot a gun, let alone about being that skillful shooter to be able to shoot him the way he was shot and kill him with that proficiency. Also said that the rifle that he chose to kill King with was a rifle that did not correspond to the bullet that killed Dr. King. It didn't come from that particular rifle. It talked about how there were witnesses who told the police when they arrived there that there was somebody else in a different location from the location where they claimed where he shot from, some hotel bathroom near King. There were witnesses who told the police that there was someone under some bushes in a different area near the hotel, and they never chose to investigate the case. Even they realized that one of the individuals supposed to be in investigating the case was an FBI agent undercover and was never revealed when the investigation was going on. There was many other contradictions that came up in this case that make you wonder, why did not continue to pursue these discrepancies and got people believing that the whole case had been resolved and James Earl Ray was the one who assassinated Dr. Martin Luther King. Matter of fact, they got proof at the time when King was getting shot, he was still in his car and not at the location. So what do y'all make of all these discrepancies, and was that, do you think we really can get down to the bottom of this issue, who really assassinated Martin Luther King? Is the government complicit in a cover-up? Brother Alex, for reading this article, I'd like to hear from you first and foremost, your take on this recent information dealing with the legacy and the so-called story that has been linked to Dr. King of being assassinated by James Earl Ray. Brother Alex, your take on this particular incident.
Well, as I had did in my opening statement, when you look at Abraham Bolden, and he's being one of the Secret Service top agents at that time in 63 when Kennedy was assassinated, and he had information about four gentlemen that were tied into an investigation, but nobody wanted to hear or say anything, and that was the first attempt on Kennedy's life and was covered up. We look at Dr. King. And when it got to a point that someone said King had to be silenced, whether it was inside the government or outside the government, I don't know. But I do know that because King had committed himself to running for president on an anti-war ticket with Benjamin Spock, there was a problem. Because now you're saying things against a war that was being fed, and people were making money. Lives were being lost, but they weren't even thought about. Because the lives that were out there in the field were mostly the poor men of America. These weren't the rich sons and daughters. As we know, one of them said that he had bone spurs and a couple other things, why he shouldn't be out there serving. But we have to truly look at the era of what was going on, the Poor People's March, asking for equality of civil rights, to be treated fairly in the business place, to be treated fairly in the restaurants, to be treated fairly everywhere that a Negro, colored, black, or African-American went in this country was unfathomable to many. So you had a lot of groups that were conspiring with each other and maybe even with the government, because you had agents right there in Kennedy's detail who decided that because of their hatred of one race, that they would not protect the president. How much deeper can it get? You're not only protecting the president, but you're protecting American sovereignty. You know, when we come to a point where we can destroy the system itself, then there's no faith in the system. Yes, our government has told us lies from day one. Our school books have told us lies since day one. Are we going to continue to believe it and just say this is the way that it's happened because someone said it was so? The evidence, yes, had pointed for many years that maybe the bullet didn't come from that upstairs room, and maybe it did come from the bushes down below. No, the gun did not match the bullets. There are too many things here. The drop-off of the gun, of how they found it, the description of the people involved. It is totally crazy in how things were misjudged. But African Americans at that time were just torn apart, and they felt like tearing America apart. And so sometimes the truth gets lost and is overlooked in our despair, in our grief, and we don't seek the answers that needed to be. And I hope that the King family does request that they bring this investigation back open to light. Let us see some, if any still exist, of Mr. Bolden's record. Because he had some records on a plot also for Dr. King. So we need to see all the information, everything released, everything's talked about. Let America be honest for once. You know, there's no greater shame than what this nation continues to go through from day to day, week to week, the countless murders that happen here. Are they a byproduct of what's totally going on as a mindset that the truly aren't convicted, that you can get away with murder? So there's a lot here at stake and that we need to discuss and talk about. And again, I turn it back over to you because I want to hear some listeners give their comments, because that is so important that we talk.
You know, Alex, Donald Trump once stated that he believed he could kill somebody in New York and get away with murder and still become president. I mean, that says a lot. And we can see how they deal with him as of today. Seems like, you know, he can get away with a lot of other things still may become president again. So I hear you. Let's go to Susan and see what she has to say about this article. Susan, what's your take on this article? Are they telling us the truth about assassination of MLK Jr.? What's your take on that, Susan?
It's funny when you look at the timeline that the article went through and stuff, and it does bring up a lot of questions. I hope the King family does pursue it, because what you're doing, you're looking at history that may be gone because of the fact the King family, I mean, like everybody else, you know, is decreasing as the years go on. So I hope they really do pursue it at this time, so we don't lose this information, because I can imagine that this information won't be out there in another 10 years, so we won't really have an answer or even be able to question the article and the sequence of how things happen. And just known in the article in the beginning, with the trees and everything, and see, originally they said he was shot in the restroom, in the bathroom, and then they came back, then they said he was actually shot on the balcony. So the thing of it is, it doesn't make sense, because you got a police force, the Memphis police force with personnel, were really didn't do what they needed to do as far as ballistics and different things like that from that hotel room. So it does make you wonder, did it actually come from those bushes? Because they prepared those bushes the day before Martin Luther King got there. So all this does show that it was a plan, and actually Hoover probably was in on the plan, which they had planned for years and stuff, because they knew the influence that King had, not only with black people, but just with people in general, because he could make you think, and he would he'd be on your side with issues and everything. So I think it was a lot of this really brings into question a lot of things that happened as far as the sequence, and somebody had to be on it. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Susan. We called our caller, get his response. Before we go to our caller, I'd like to just make a statement. Kwame Ture, formerly known as Soka Clivebacker, told King that he was in danger, because when he made a statement that a man don't care, you call ghettos concentration camps. But when you tell him his war machine is nothing but high killers, you got problems. And I thought that'd be interesting when he told King about the impact of the statement, how he view the war machine. I think that's got a lot of truth to it. It creates problems for him. Now, to my caller, 4298, it'll look like this may be a case of power versus the truth. That is, if I got the power to say that's what happened, then that's what you're going to have to believe. Your response, caller, based upon what you know about the legacy and the narrative of the saturation of Martin Luther King, do you think the truth has really been told yet?
It seems that half the story has never been told, as usual, and that there are missing pages in history. And, you know, this covert action is attempting to account for some of that. I know that Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, had an immense impact on the African American community and the world. And so he created enemies. I mean, they tell me you're gonna create enemies when you do good. That was Jesus saying. Jesus said he was doing good, and he created enemies, and that his followers would create enemies too. And so Dr. Martin Luther King was definitely a follower of Christ, and he got into what John Lewis called good trouble. He was up open and above board, and he had integrity. And all those things are not valued properly in the world today. And so, you know, we salute Dr. Martin Luther King, and as to the bottom line of who did what and when and where, I'm sure history will be sorted it out. But the fact is, we have to press on with the agenda of today, and I'm not sure what we can do to change the past. The past can only serve the present and the future. And so that's the bottom line. So I thank you.
Thank you, Cole, for your response and your participation. And Brother Alex, before we make our closing transition to this program, I would just like to raise the question of, if we don't learn the truth based upon our past, what happened then, are we any more comfortable and comfortable in thinking they would tell us the truth today, i.e. on what really took place on January the 6th, or i.e. these wars that are taking place all over the world in the interest of wealth and for the powerful? Your response, Brother Alex.
We have to first look at the United States as being a colonial power still, because it hasn't given up its territories. It hasn't given up its interests around the world, and it still polices many countries, as we have bases and institutions all over the world that signify America's great. But in signifying America's greatness, it also signifies its white supremacy, which this nation was started on. So if we're going to find the truth about anything, we have to make sure that the history, and I mean true history, of this country comes forward. Because it has been hidden, it's been blocked, it's been stolen, it's been destroyed. Anything that has a virtue to say that something was done wrong by this country is a threat to be leaked. Because on the world stage, countries will blink. And they will blink because of the freedom and the democracy that we hold to be are truly being kept. And when you don't keep your word, people lose respect for you. As long as you say you're going to be there, and you're going to be there on time, and you are on time, people have faith and believe in you. But when you do not show up, when you don't call in, lose faith. Countries all over the world have lost faith in America. And because we don't tell the truth about what happens here. I'll never forget just talking to different people, and they almost knew as much history about America as I did. And I'm wondering how. You know, you come from India. How do you know as much about America as I do? You come from Brazil. And you're telling me all this history about America. I'm sure the textbooks never made it down to your country. And the textbooks that were written, a lot of them were destroyed when Woodrow Wilson came into office, because Wilson rewrote a lot of American history, and especially before the Civil War. That was his biggest aim, to whitewash history. And in doing so, we have suffered from those textbooks since Woodrow Wilson's administration. So yes, the government keeps secrets. It always will, because it thinks that's the only way that it can survive, because the people may rise up one day and say, hey, this is not what we truly wanted. We're not helping the poor. We're not helping the sick. We're not helping the ones that need to be educated. We're not doing what a constitution was written and ratified to do. So we have to look at history and the things that involve with it, such as assassinations and murders of prominent American citizens, citizens who stood for the right of other Americans to have a more decent life, didn't stand for the wealthy in this nation. So if you don't stand on the side of the wealthy and you stand on the side of the poor and the disenfranchised, then you're the ones at trouble, because this nation celebrates wealth over poor. It's a terrible thing to even imagine, but that's how it is. And I turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Brother Alex. Right now, we're going to take a quick station break, but music with a message. And when we come back, we'll have our final thought as we talk about seeking the truth on the assassination of MLK. This is MPH Radio.
Give me something.
Welcome back to the Patriot Show. Yes, this world is a ball of confusion. It's confusion because you have a systematic system that's set out to not tell the people the truth, to deceive. As we internalize these reactionary behaviors, we do reactionary things, such as killing individuals who may have your best interests at heart. You are just much of a victim than the one who the pain has been inflicted upon. So we need to change our society, change our conditions. When we talk about what just recently took place for Sister Shaquille Robinson to seek the truth of the assassination of MLK Jr., and just look at the whole narrative of what is America, there will be no true form of movement and progress based upon lies and deception. And on that note, for the 26th day of November 2022, we'd like to just get some final thoughts from our participants and our panelists on today's program. And we'd like to remind all of you that you can support MPH Radio by making a donation or contribution to MPH, Mr. Page of History, Inc., P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. You can become a member and a supporter and friend of MPH Radio by emailing us at mphradio@yahoo.com. And we can tell you how you can do that once you receive Quest who want to become a member supporter or friends and supporter of MPH Radio. Our live TV program will be coming up this winter, starting in February 2023. We'll tell you more about that as we get closer to our opening date in the month of February. And like always, we'd like to thank all our friends, supporters, and listeners who listen to this program on a bi-weekly basis every other Saturday at 1 p.m. And we ask you to help us help build our audience by spreading and sharing the word that MPH can be listened to every other Saturday on Blog Talk Radio. So till then, what we're going to do is close out this program with some final thoughts. We're going to get our caller 4298. We will get our caller a minute or so for any final thoughts you'd like to make as relates to today's program. Call the 4298. The mic is yours.
Thank you. Thank you. I think, you know, it's been a wonderful show. I mean, we covered some ground here. I think, you know, it's important to be open and above board. I think that's critical, that, you know, this intriguing and conspiring stuff has got to go. And we need people who are honest and forthright. You know, we can't be succumb to the big lies, the Herschel Walkers and the Donald Trumps. I think even Kanye West got taken into arrogance when he said he could say anti-Semitic things and nobody could do anything about it. That's just pure arrogance. But anyway, I think, you know, honesty is the best policy. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Carla. Next, we'll go to Susie. Your final remarks for today's program, Susie.
Okay. Today's program dealing with Shaquita Robinson and the question of J. Edgar Hoover, did he have anything to do with Martin Luther King's death? With all the questions with both of these particular individuals, hopefully we'll finally get some kind of resolution as to what really is the truth and what really did go on. But at least it allows us to think, and it allows us to sort of even think about our personal situations as far as friends and how things operate within this country. But I enjoyed it. And it was informative. Thank you.
Thank you, Susie. Brother Alex, your final thoughts for today's program.
Yes, again, I would like to say thank you to everybody. You've all provided me with an untold amount of information today that, you know, I'm going to listen to this show again, and as I always do, because it's in that repetition of we talking about things, that thing sticks in a person's mind. Sometimes you say something one time and they forgot. But if you go over and over and over again, that's when it begins to become solid in memory. So I like to appreciate that we have went over topics that need to be discussed, because there are parents out here today that are hurting, Robinson family and the families of those in Chesapeake, Virginia. So we have to be concerned for everybody's child, not just ours, but we have to be concerned for everybody's child. And we have to make sure that our children know better, that they just don't stand idly by and let wrongness happen. We all know right and wrong, so we should know when to step up and stop a case of any type of abuse to a woman or man or a child, but to stop that abuse from continuing to happen. We can just not stand idly by and let it happen. Terrible incidents of the worst of America. And then when I look at something that touches my heart so deeply, because I was born in April, and when Dr. King was murdered in my month, near my brother's birthday and mine, it has just been a traumatic experience all my life to know that the man stood for nonviolence. He stood for poverty. He stood for the homeless. He stood the worst of America. He stood for the best of America. But America conspired against him. And to know that your own country conspires against you because you're doing something right is almost unimaginable. But whether times were good or times were bad, it was a time that America looked at itself and saw that it was wrong on the death of Dr. King. So whether the FBI, CIA, or whoever was involved, single shooter, multiple shooters, whatever, we will know the truth one day. It will come out. All secrets don't lie forever. And on that note, I turn it back to you, and I thank you again, Mr. Lee, for a wonderful, wonderful show.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Susie. Thank you, participant, and all our listening audience for allowing us another opportunity to come to your homes today to help continue our struggle as we try to fill in those missing pages of history. We'd like to remind you again, if you get a chance, please check out Cooper Action Magazine and the article that is titled, Did J. Edgar Hoover Order the Assassination of Martin Luther King Jr.? It raises so many questions and still so much you must learn. And also, again, our condolences go out to the Robinson family, Robinson. And not only do we hold justice to prevail in her case, but more importantly, change the conditions that will make young folks to have a mindset to think it's all right to kill, stoop, loot, and cheat. And one of the best ways we can do that is to start transforming our institutions to make our youth realize this is not the path and way to go. Also, to change the very institutions that exist in this country that do not praise money over everything, individuals as being the most important thing, and being self-centered. We need to get these reactionary values out of this society and out of the inner thoughts of human being. So until next time, we see you in 2 weeks on PH Radio. We'd like to remind you that we are here. We are here for all of you. And we'll leave you on that note. You have been listening to the voice of MPH Radio. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening.
you.